And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And just like that, prophecy was fulfilled. A way was being made in the desert, in the wilderness, so that the Lord, God himself, might come to his people with a mighty arm and bring them deliverance and light. And how was that highway made? By a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And how did the people get ready for the gospel, the good news of Jesus? Make note of that little grammatical detail, right? It wasn't a gospel about Jesus. No, it is the good news, the gospel of Jesus, as in Jesus himself is the gospel. He is the good news. So how do the people get ready for Jesus? By repentance. Now, we all know about getting ready, especially at this time of year. No doubt many of you gathered here this morning are still in the midst of getting ready for the holidays, especially if you have guests coming over at some point, right? There's cleaning that needs to get done, straightening, decorating, cooking, shopping. The list of preparations is near endless, but here's the big deal. Your preparations, your readiness isn't what makes the guests arrive, is it? That's part of the panic. They're coming whether you're ready or not. And just as your work doesn't make the guests come, we need to remember that our getting ready for Jesus isn't what makes him arrive. He's coming irrespective. Now, with the holidays, your readiness does allow you to be comfortable, to take joy in showing your guests love and respect, making them feel at home and cared for by all the things that you've done. And likewise, getting ready for Jesus isn't so much about him as it is about us. Will we rejoice to receive him, to stand before him, knowing that we are in his grace and love? If last week we wanted to greet our humble King who comes to us, righteous and having salvation, and cry out to him, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This week, we want to be ready for him so that we receive him with joy and hope and not with fear and trembling. And to do that, to get ready for him, we must repent, as John the Baptist called the people of his day to repent so that they could receive the Messiah coming to them. For their Lord, their King, comes not only to deliver, but also to judge. Our readings this morning make it clear that our Lord, our King and Messiah, comes not just to visit, not just to make small talk. This is no holiday party or family gathering he's coming to. No, he's coming with deliverance, with salvation, with a mighty arm to save and to judge. Now, a few years back, I shared this reading with the students in chapel over at Concordia, and in an effort to help them understand this stuff about a highway in the desert being made for the Lord to pass over, with valleys lifted up and mountains lowered and the uneven leveled, so on, I asked them to think about an emergency at home. I didn't say what, I didn't want to frighten anyone, but when there's an emergency, who do you call? 911, right? And the dispatcher will send emergency vehicles to you for help. And here's the thing. Do you want anything slowing those vehicles down? Do you want anything in their way as they come to you? No, you want the road to be straight. You want the path to be smooth and clear. And that's what Isaiah was inspired to proclaim to the Babylonian exiles. And that's what Mark saw fulfilled with John the Baptist. Make ready the way of our Lord, for our God comes. He comes to his people with rescue, salvation, grace, and deliverance. And how does nature respond to his coming? It gets out of his way. In the wilderness, a highway appears with valleys raised up and hills lowered and uneven leveled, rough places made plain. The Lord God has a straight shot to come to his people with nothing in his way so that he can come speedily with glory to save. Now, here's the thing. We know that mountains and valleys don't really slow God down when he comes to us. But Isaiah was moved to use this picture language so that we can reflect on what we need to do to prepare for Jesus, for God in the flesh to come to us in the desert of our lives with salvation and grace. For do we want anything standing between him and us when he comes with mercy and love? And the answer, of course, is no. So as we prepare for his coming in this Advent season, knowing that he comes to us whether we're ready or not, what do we need to attend to? Repentance, turning around, coming to another mind about sin. For Jesus comes to release us from sin, to set us loose from guilt and condemnation. And it won't do for us to keep holding on to our sins when he's busy trying to release us. So as it comes with release, we seek to lift up the valleys in our lives, the valleys of despair. Or in my work as a pastor, I have time and time seen folks dismiss Jesus because they didn't think it was possible for God to love them. Maybe they were suffering from depression. Maybe they'd grown up in a household where they didn't experience genuine love. Perhaps they had endured a hardship, a tragedy, a disease that left them thinking, if this has happened, then God doesn't really love me. Whatever their case, there are times when perhaps even some of us here have tuned out the gospel because we thought God couldn't possibly love someone like us. Well, stop that. God loves all. He seeks all. He calls all. He redeems all. Let that valley be lifted up. Seek the counsel and comfort of a mature believer so that despair doesn't stand between you and Jesus. He's coming to you so that you might see his glory and know his love and receive his deliverance. Remember that on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet, he still trusted his Father and commended himself to him with his dying breath. God loves you. Let Christ give you that trust. Now, we also have to bring down the mountains and hills of our lives, which I think is our pride. Pride not in the sense of satisfaction with a job well done, but that sinful pride that puffs us up. In the old days, it used to be called vain, that is empty glorying. It is to think that you are great and wonderful and powerful, able to do all when in fact you are not. Pride rejects Jesus because it doesn't think it needs him. Pride leads us to think that we can save ourselves and handle all situations and brave all storms. Pride leaves us looking down on others so that we do not share love and grace with them. Tear down pride. Remember that you are dust. Believe what God's word says about your heart, your frailty. Tear down pride and turn to Christ so that he can heal you and carry you and redeem you. Remember how on the cross Jesus humbled himself and endured mocking and spite. He refused to get even with anyone for what he suffered. And then make level what is uneven in your life. That is, clear away the distractions of your life that have you going here and there, looking at this and that, and doing anything but looking to Christ, waiting for him to come to you with salvation. And gosh, our distractions are many, right? There's recreation, there's office politics for those of you who work, there's politics in the world at large, maybe there's family strife, maybe you're looking for material gain, money, maybe you've got a bunch of interpersonal drama, the turmoil of the world around us can be a distraction. The list is near endless. But when we let our hearts and our minds go up and down and get tossed here and there and everywhere, then we're getting in the way of Jesus coming to us with his deliverance and life and grace. So let us learn to be still. Let's learn to be level so that we look to him and wait for him and set those distractions aside. For as Jesus went to the cross, he devoted himself single-mindedly to the work that was before him, saying, not my will, but thy will be done. And finally, we want to make the rough places of our lives plain or smooth so that as Christ comes to us, he has neither potholes nor debris standing in his way, but a smooth path. And here I think we arrive at our actual sins, right? Lying, cheating, unchastity, greed, drunkenness, envy, anger, and so on. All of these are things that stand between us and Jesus. Now, I know that all of us are subject to what used to be referred to as habitual vices, and all of us are called to struggle against them. For while it's one thing to slip up now and again in weakness or temptation, it's another thing entirely simply to indulge in what you know you must not do. When we simply give in to this sin or that, telling ourselves, it's no big deal, or it's no one's business, or it's like throwing a boulder down on the way between you and Jesus. It's like digging a big old hole between you. And he can still come to you, but why would you want to make it harder to receive him? Remember how he suffered and died to pay the debt of your sin and then leave sin behind. So we repent, knowing that we are released from sin, forgiven, and then we receive the Lord, this God who comes to us in the flesh. If we do not repent, if we are not loosed from our sins, then we have them chained to us in guilt and shame. And then when we stand before Christ, even here in his church, we risk not being able to receive him and his grace because of the mountains or the valleys or the debris that stand between us and him. So as we work on cleaning the path that he needs to come to us in the season of Advent, let us give up despair, let us tear down pride, give up distractions and sin. And we do that by hearing his word, receiving his gifts. Repent, get ready. The mighty one is coming. He is born at Bethlehem. He will come again at the last day. And as we noted last week, he comes to us now in word and sacrament. Prepare his way to you. Now, As we begin a new church year, the appointed readings this year are going to keep us in the gospel according to St. Mark. And you should know that Mark delights to show us in Jesus, in spite of his humility, no matter that he comes to us in weakness and gentleness, that Jesus is nevertheless the mighty one, the strong one. And so we're going to hear throughout the year, story after story after story of Jesus in the flesh as a man, overcoming death, overpowering sin with grace, overcoming disease with his purity and health, casting down evil spirits, even the devil himself. There's nothing that can stop Jesus or impede his mission. He is the mighty one, strong to save. And the mighty one comes to you with rescue. He is the shepherd come to you to find you and carry you and guide you and guard you. So repent, my friends. Turn around. Make a highway in the desert of your life as Jesus comes to you. Prepare the way of the Lord so that you too behold his glory. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen. I invite you to stand and join in singing the